This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min siyati amalina min yahdihillahu falamudillala wa min yudilu falahadiyala. Amma ba'd, fa inna astaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khairu hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week, or in our previous khutbah 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the fitrah, the natural beliefs that humans have, and how Islam is the only religion that agrees with the natural beliefs that Allah has put in the hearts of people, and that this is one of the strongest evidences that Islam is the true religion. Continuing on that topic, the next major evidence that Islam is the true religion of Allah is the Quran. And we take this from the Quran itself and from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every messenger was given a miracle. Every messenger was given a miracle to prove that he was a true prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ said, every messenger was given a miracle to prove that he was a true prophet. And I was given, he said, I was given a revelation from Allah, so I hope that my followers will be the most on the Day of Judgment. Let's break this hadith down into three parts. Part one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every prophet was given a miracle to prove that they were a true prophet. Someone comes and says that they are a prophet, they are a messenger from Allah. It can be only one of two situations. Either he is telling the truth or he is an evil liar. Because the average person will never claim to be a prophet. Only two types of people will ever claim to be a prophet. The best of people who are truly prophets of Allah, or the worst of people who are lying egomaniacs trying to build their own religion and cult. So what is the sign that someone was a true prophet of Allah? It was a mu'ajiza, a miracle. A miracle that the people could look at and say, okay, this person is definitely sent by Allah because Allah is allowing miraculous things to occur through this person. And so the messengers throughout history came with miracles for their people. And we know these miracles. Musa alayhi salam with the stick that turned into a snake. Isa alayhi salam bringing the dead back to life by Allah's permission. Right? Salih alayhi salam with the rock or the mountain that turned into a camel. All of these were miracles, proofs for their people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam then says what his miracle is. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life experienced hundreds of miracles. He experienced hundreds of miracles. But he's talking here specifically about the miracle to prove that he is a true prophet. That if someone had to ask, how do you know Islam is a true religion? How do you know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true prophet? What will you show them? You will show them Al-Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my miracle is the revelation that Allah sent to me, the Quran. So this hadith tells us that the greatest proof of Islam, the greatest miracle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with, the greatest proof that Islam is the true religion is the Quran. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends this hadith with a very optimistic statement about how powerful this miracle is. He says, because my miracle is the Quran, I hope that my followers will be the most on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because the miracle of Musa alayhi salam was only experienced by his people. The miracle of Isa alayhi salam was only experienced by his people. The miracle of the Quran, you can experience it today. The miracle of the Quran, you can experience it every single day. All you have to do is to sit with the Quran with an open mind and an open heart, and to read it and to recite it and to understand it and to reflect on it, and you will experience the miracle of Al-Quran. So So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his miracle is one that would last from his time until the end of time, to be able to be experienced by anybody, he said that he hopes that his ummah will be the largest on the day of judgment. Now, there's a point here about understanding Quran and Hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make a statement like this, that I hope something will happen, you know, on the day of judgment or in the future, it means it will happen. When they use these words, it means it will happen. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I hope my ummah will be the most on the day of judgment, it actually means his ummah will be the most on the day of judgment. Will be the most. And we already see this. We already see that despite the fact that Muslims are in a state of political weakness, we are one quarter of the world. And at the rate that the Muslim ummah is growing, both in terms of conversions and children, inshallah, within 50 years, half the world will be Muslim. Inshallah. Right? That this ummah is already the largest in the history of this world in terms of true followers of a Prophet. And inshallah, it will grow even more. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us Al-Quran as the greatest proof of Islam. But how do we understand this? How do we interact with the Quran in a way that helps us to understand that this is a miracle and this is a proof? You see, this is an area where often we get lost. Right? Many a times we grow up hearing the Quran is a miracle, but we don't get to see it for ourselves because we are told, oh, the miracle is in the eloquence of its Arabic. And that's true. There is a miracle in the eloquence of its Arabic, but that's not accessible to us. Right? Most of us will not be able to understand or appreciate the miracle of the eloquence of the Arabic of the Quran because we don't understand Arabic. We can't compare to other Arabic poetries or other forms of Arabic rhetoric because we don't understand Arabic. Rather, the miracle of the Quran is multidimensional. Every person experiences a different aspect of the miracle of the Quran. And each individual who takes time to sit with the Quran, to reflect on the Quran, to spend time forming a relationship with the Quran, will experience a different aspect of the miracle of the Quran. It's not only one thing. Yes, there is a miracle in the language of the Quran. There is a miracle in the preservation of the Quran. There is a miracle in the memorization of the Quran. There's also miracles in the meanings of the Quran, in the tafsir of the Quran, in the message of the Quran, in the description of Allah in the Quran, or the description of paradise and hell in the Quran, in the impact that the Quran has on your heart. So today, I want to call upon us to try and experience at least one part of the miracle of the Quran. And that is the impact that the Quran has on the hearts of people. You see, not all of us can learn Arabic. Not all of us can interact with the history of the Quran or the poetic language of the Quran. But all of us can interact with the Quran in a way where it has an impact on our hearts. And for any youngster who is experiencing doubts about the Quran, who is experiencing doubts about Islam, who is experiencing weakness in their iman, I ask that person to take time to sit with the Quran. To take time to sit and recite the Quran, read the translation, read some tafsir or listen to some tafsir and reflect on the meanings of the Quran and interact with the Quran. If you do this, you will feel your iman rising. You will experience the miracle of the Quran. You will become convinced that this is from Allah. Because there are things about the Quran that no human can understand or explain. For example, the Quran very often seems to be addressing exactly what's in our heart. How many of us have experienced this? That you have a problem in your heart, a doubt in your heart, a confusion in your heart. You open the Quran and you recite it as if Allah is talking to you, addressing your exact problem. How? This is part of the miracle of the Quran. The Quran has a miracle in that it can take the worst of people and transform them into the best of people. That there are people in this world today who at one point in their life they were sitting in prison as murderers or for other kinds of crimes. And then they recited the Quran and such a radical transformation took place in their hearts that they became amongst the best of people. The Quran has that kind of impact on people. You can experience the miracle of the Quran just in its memorization. And this is a miracle that we take for granted. How many amongst us here have memorized the Quran or at least a part of it? I want you to think about this. Memorizing a book, a 600-page book, in a language that you don't understand, is something humans cannot do. Memorizing a 600-page book in a language you don't understand is something humans cannot do. Try memorizing any book in a language you don't understand. Any language that you don't understand, just try memorizing one page and you'll realize how difficult it is. Now imagine memorizing the entire book. Now we have the Quran and we have millions of children around the world who have memorized all 600 pages of the Quran and they can recite it from their memories with perfect tajweed and without any mistakes, even if they don't understand a single word of Arabic. How is this possible? This is part of the miracle of the Quran. So the miracle of the Quran is multidimensional, and every person will experience a different part of it. Some person may read a verse and that verse hits their heart and changes their life. Someone else may experience the miracle of hifz. Somebody else may experience the miracle of realizing that a Quranic verse describes a certain prophecy or a certain historical information accurately. Someone else may experience, you know, the miracle of seeing how the Quran transforms an entire civilization or society. There are many different aspects to the miracle of the Quran. But the only way you're going to see it is if you make time for it. And very often, you know, this is where we fall short. As a community, the Quran has become for us something we recite when someone passes away, something we recite on special occasions only, something we keep on the top shelf, something that, you know, it's there for barakah only. And yes, there is barakah in the Quran. Yes, you should recite Quran when people pass away. Yes, you should recite Quran, you know, when you're feeling sad. But that's not what it's only for. The Quran is both the miracle and the message. Think about this. Musa alayhi salam, his miracle was a stick that turned into a snake. His message was the Torah. Isa alayhi salam, his miracle was bringing the dead back to life. His message was the gospel. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his miracle was the Quran. His message was the Quran. His miracle and the message is the same. And so when you recite the Quran, you are on one hand interacting with the living miracle, and on the other hand, you are interacting with the message of Islam. Only good can come out of this. And so my message to everyone is to make time for the Quran. Recite it, understand it, reflect on it, interact with it, live by it. Throughout history, there have been people whose hearts were transformed by the Quran. A long time ago, there was a man by the name of Fudayl ibn Iyad. And this man, he was a robber, a thief. He was well known in his community as one of the most dangerous criminals in that community. And he engaged in almost every type of sin openly. And then one day, at night, while he was sneaking around, getting up to no good, he overheard someone reciting Quran. And that person recited the verse on the Quran, "Has the time not come for the hearts of mankind to fear their Lord? Has the time not come for the hearts to fear their Lord?" And he listened to the verse, and he reflected on the verse, and he interacted with the verse, and he said, "Yes, the time has come." He went home, he made tawbah, he repented from all of his sins, he gave up his life of crime, he went off to study Islam, and he became one of the greatest scholars and saints of that era. Now, this is the impact of a man interacting and reflecting on a single verse of the Quran. If a single verse of the Quran had this kind of impact on this man's heart, what do you think the impact will be if we have to interact with the entire Quran in this way? To take time to understand it, to reflect on it, and to respond to it. And this is my message for all of us today. The Quran is a living miracle. It's here with us. Appreciate it, interact with it, take time to understand it and to live by it. If you do this, you will grow in your iman. You will grow in your conviction. You will grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will experience the miracle of Al-Quran. سبحان رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد. When it comes to Al-Quran, we often take it for granted. And we tend to be caught up between a variety of different extremes. There are those of us who see the Quran as a burden, you know, where we feel difficult to read it, to recite it, and we feel like, you know, why do I have to read this? Because we haven't really appreciated its beauty yet. There are those of us who treat it as part of our culture. You know, we respect it, we keep it on the top shelf, but we don't really take time to think what is the message of this book and what is its message for me. There may be some of us who think it's haram for me to read the translation, right? Because you were raised with this belief that only the ulama should understand the Quran and I shouldn't interact with it at all. And that's a wrong attitude to have, because the Quran was a message to mankind. Everybody should read it, everybody should recite it, everybody should understand it, everybody should reflect on it. But we should also know our place. If you're not a scholar of fiqh, don't try deriving your own fiqh from the Quran. Right? But there's nothing wrong with trying to understand and reflect on it. So we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different approaches to the Quran. What we all need to do is to make the Quran central to our life. It should be our main source of comfort. It should be our main source of hope. It should be something we recite on a daily basis. It's something whose message we should have read cover to cover at least once in our life. It's something whose tafsir we should be studying on an ongoing basis. It is something that we should be reflecting on every day. When we are sad, we should open the Quran. When we are happy, we should open the Quran. When our iman feels weak, we should open the Quran. When our iman is strong, we should open the Quran. It should be something that we interact with all the time. And when we do this, then and only then will we truly experience the miracle of the Quran in our lives on an ongoing basis. I want to end with a story, and I want us to reflect on the story. It's a story we all know already, but to reflect on it from a different angle. And that is the story of the conversion of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to Islam. We all know the story, right? Umar radiallahu anhu was a staunch enemy of Islam, and one day he took out his sword and he said he's going to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as he was on his way, someone told him that his sister and brother-in-law had converted to Islam. So he went to their house, knocked down the door, got into a physical fight with his brother-in-law, and then after he calmed down, he recited, you know, he read the first page of Surah Taha, and he ended up converting to Islam. We all know the story. But reflect on it from the perspective of our topic, about the Quran being a miracle in how it transforms the hearts of people. This is part of the miracle of the Quran, that any sincere heart that recites it and reflects on it will be transformed by it. Let us look at the case of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was a sincere man even in his kufr. Even when he wasn't a Muslim, he was sincere. You see, the people who had rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime fell into two groups. There were those who knew that Islam was true, but they rejected it out of arrogance, like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl knew that Islam was the true religion, but he rejected it out of arrogance and he fought the Muslims to his death. Then there were those who had rejected Islam because they weren't convinced yet that the Prophet ﷺ was a true prophet and that Islam was a true religion. In this category, we have the likes of Suhail ibn Amr and Umar ibn al-Khattab, who eventually both ended up converting to Islam. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu, in the early years, before he was convinced that Islam was a true religion, he was a very sincere believer in his previous religion. He very sincerely believed in the idols. He very sincerely believed in his local culture. And so when he heard about a new person in his community that was attacking and changing the religion and coming up with a new religion, he fought against it sincerely. So because he was sincere, because his heart was open to finding the truth, because his sins were actually coming from a sincere place, when he eventually interacted with the Quran, he interacted with it from a place of sincerity. You see, wasn't a man who rejected Islam because he knew it was true. This was a man who had rejected Islam because he hadn't heard its message yet. And on that day, on that occasion, when he sat down and he saw the iman of his sister Fatima, and he saw the iman of his brother-in-law Sa'id, and he saw that they were willing, you know, to die for their religion, something entered his heart. He realized, maybe there's some truth to this. Now, what caused people to become so brave? What caused people to have such faith? And that's when he sincerely opened his heart to Islam. He sat down with the Quran. He recited it. He reflected on it. He interacted with it. And because of that, he not only converted to Islam. This is the big thing to think about. When I say that the Quran radically transforms people, think about Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, before reciting the Quran, he was a man who would hit Muslims. He was a man who would beat up people for converting to Islam. He was a man who was so staunchly against Islam that once when one of the Sahaba said, I think he might convert to Islam one day, right, another Sahaba responded, his donkey will convert before him. Meaning it's never going to happen. Right? Because he was such a staunch enemy of Islam. This was a man who a few minutes before reciting Quran had his sword in his hand and was willing to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of radical transformation did the Quran have on his heart? He became the staunchest defender of Islam. Few minutes after converting to Islam, he knocks on the doors of all of the leaders of Quraysh one by one and tells them, I became Muslim, what are you going to do about it? Well, door by door, he goes to each one's house and he knocks on the door and says, just wanted to let you know, I'm a Muslim now. And he literally gets into a first fight in front of the Kaaba with these people because they don't want him to be a Muslim. And he doesn't matter, he doesn't care, because now his iman is strong. He becomes such a strong Muslim that the Quran was often revealed in agreement with his opinion. What do I mean by this? For example, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shouldn't alcohol be haram? And later on, the verse was revealed prohibiting alcohol. He said, shouldn't women observe hijab? Later on, the verses were revealed of hijab. There are many occasions where Umar ibn al-Khattab had an idea and the revelation would agree with it. Umar ibn al-Khattab became such a righteous man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there had to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. He became such a righteous man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when Umar walks on the street, the shaitan runs away to a different street. He became such a righteous man that when the Prophet ﷺ passed away and Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, it was Umar ibn al-Khattab during that time who came up with the idea of preserving the Quran. And then when Abu Bakr ﷺ was passing away, he chose Umar to be the next Khalifa. Think about it. Think about this. Umar ibn al-Khattab was not one of the first 20 or 30 people to convert to Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab was not the eldest of the Sahaba at that time. He was not one of the first 20 or 30 Muslims. He was not the one who had memorized the most Quran or the one who had the most knowledge of Hadith. But he was the most righteous and the most powerful and the most deepest thinker of them all. And this is what Abu Bakr recognized, and so he chose Umar to be the next Khalifa. And in the Khilafat of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Muslims destroyed the Persian Empire. The Muslims crippled parts of the Roman Empire. Muslims took over Egypt, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, Iran, all of these lands we know them today to be Muslim lands. They became Muslim lands in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab is a man who started his life as a camel herder and who passed away as the leader of the most powerful nation on earth. And that transformation from a man who wanted to kill a prophet to the man who led this nation after that prophet to the height of its powers, that transformation came from reciting and reflecting over a single page of the Quran. So I ask you, why are we not reciting the Quran? Why are we not reflecting on the Quran? This is the impact it has on the hearts of the sincere. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is one of the greatest examples of the impact of the Quran when a sincere person recites it and reflects on it. So let each and every one of us follow in his footsteps. Let each and every one of us make time for the Quran, recite it, understand it, reflect on it, live by it, because the Quran is a living miracle. It is a miracle we can experience. It is a proof of Islam. It is the place where we get our iman from. It is the place where we get our guidance from. It is the best way to live your life. It is the best manual of life. It is everything to the believer. Do not neglect the Quran. Make time for it. Live by it. Let it be a part of who you are. Fall in love with it. Make it be something that you never neglect and something that's in your life every single day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Quran, put the light of the Quran into our hearts, and make the Quran a proof for us on the day of judgment. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Afi misalam.